Brad, did you get an agenda? Brad?
This first monthly meeting for February of the Port Authority Council Commission to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Does anybody have any additions to the agenda or changes?
I'd like to make a recommendation. We do have Peter here from EDC to a briefing. And he's due to format later in the agenda. I'd recommend that we move him up to the beginning.
Yeah, we'll move him up to the next thing. All right, Peter, then under new business, we have the quarterly ADO report from Team Jefferson.
But you still need to approve the agenda.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I move that the agenda be approved as written with the one exception of moving Peter up.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are we going to?
Get a jump start on this.
Talked about doing a PowerPoint, decided not to do that, so I'm just handing out the bits and pieces to you. I do, sorry.
First of all, thank you very much for taking the time, and most importantly, thank you for the partnership and the support we've had in the last 18 months. Without the port, Team Jefferson 2.0 would not have existed, and now we're moving into Team Jefferson 3.0, and we hope to continue to be your partners. I'm here today to tell you about what we did in the last 12 months, but I want to start out with just a little bit about where we are at this moment. We went through a planning process in October through December and decided to change the way we were organizing a little bit. We wanted to get a little bit more formalized. And the visible things are that I am now the official salary and executive director of Team Jefferson, and working in a full-time capacity there. So that's the single biggest thing that's happened. We also kind of, we took the Team Jefferson board, which was 15 different members, and we turned them into actual board members. So everyone is on the board of Team Jefferson. And then we've created a hierarchical system of committees in order to make sure that we're taking care of the most important elements that we think that we have to deal with. One of the most important problems we had was we have a lot of requests for us to approve or partner or put a stamp of approval on specific elements of or initiatives that are going on. And we didn't have a good process for doing that.
Initiatives such as?
Initiatives, somebody might come to us, we dealt with something with the Maritime Center on Monday. In the past we had initiatives, people would say, we want to take this down to the legislature. Will you be one of our partners on it? initiatives and cogeneration, all those kinds of questions came up. We didn't have a good way of putting that through our system, so we actually came up with a recommendation or a position or something like that. So now we actually have an advocacy and policy committee. The first one met on Monday, and we'll meet the first Monday of every month to deal with proposals from people who want us to be partners or use our logo or whatever we're talking about. So we have a more formalized way of doing that. The intent of this is to make us more efficient as we're going through it, make sure that we leverage the 16 members of the group. That's the secret sauce of Team Jefferson. We have 16 different people have specific skills, and we're champion based. So somebody says, I will take this project, and then they run with it. And my job is to knock the walls down so that they get things done. And so we're working through that process right now, and it's starting out very well. Just so you can look very quickly, there's a staffing and board structure in here right now, and it's very simple staffing. We're still very lightly funded, so. Essentially, I am the full-time executive director. We have an administrator working 20 hours a week, and we have a bookkeeper who will be working about 10 hours a month. And she'll be working on not just bookkeeping, but working on statistics and analysis and data diving and things that we need to do there are more computer and database focused. So So that's the group that is working on a weekly or monthly basis. Board is structured as you see above. Executive committee is Marty Gay is the president. Casey Reeder, who some of you may know, is our vice president. James is our remaining member from the previous board. He is our secretary treasurer. The four standing committees you can see across there. I won't go into great detail, but we have a champion for each one of those. Then the initiatives 1, 2, and 3 are the things that the board chooses to move forward with. And some of that is in the back in our strategic plan that you can see there, the champions created to that. That's more for you to look at. We can have conversations as the time goes on about this.
Bill James.
Bill James. Currently he's president of
Bill James.
Okay.
You don't need to answer that.
He's one of many Bill James.
We know a Bill James.
Okay.
He was the finance director at the Port of PA.
Oh, no, no.
Bill, recently.
Yeah. Bill was he owned the beer distributorship in
Colorado. Okay.
Yeah. We all have something to negotiate with there. So to go to page 3 and talk about basically the results for 2012, the ADO, Associate Development Organization report that we put into the Department of Commerce every year, or every quarter, I'm sorry, shows these numbers. We created at Team Jefferson, we created a goal of creating 40 jobs in 2012. We have a count of 33 jobs for 2012, and we're very pleased with that because 40 was a number that we didn't know if we could attain, but we wanted to drive towards a number that we thought was fairly aggressive. And these are jobs that we know that we had specific impact upon creating. It's not because somebody else decided to do something. It's because somebody at Team Jefferson spent time with either a business owner or a potential new business owner and worked with them to fruition, so there were actually jobs. About 9 of these jobs were Quimper Mercantile. Another dozen were with Hope Roofing. And the others are in 1 and 2 person segments. I think the most was 3 after that. So these are things that Team Jefferson can actually show a trail to having spent time working. Any questions on that? So going down to the next slide on page 3, for 2012 we had, in the second half of 2012, because our reporting was not up to speed and in place until July, we could identify 7 very specific marine trades conversations and impacts that we had. One of them was I worked specifically with an out-of-state, or I guess, yeah, they were out-of-state, they're from Oregon, a company that was looking to take an inventory of property for potentially bringing a boat building operation in here. They were very specific about wanting to stay under the radar. I had to talk to the Department of Commerce without any further detail other than to say that I've talked to these guys and I know who they are. And so we spent probably 2 or 3 months working with the Department of Commerce to see whether or not there were funds available for them. They ultimately decided not to move at all. They were planning on moving, did not. We worked with 2 shipwrights down at Bonehaven about specific business issues and interests. One was to try and decide whether to expand, the other was trying to decide whether to stay. One decided not to expand and the other decided to stay. So those are the 3 that I can relate to a certain extent. So 7 isn't a lot. I've already had 3 myself in the first 5 weeks of this year. So I think the word is getting out and we're having more conversations with specific marine trades individuals as we go. The work that Bill Weiss did on the Maritime Cluster, that was a lot of work with the PTMTA, several meetings with them. They came together into a final meeting in October with representatives of the Marine Trades Organizations for a debrief and a conversation about how business was for them and go through the process. You see, Bill did make a presentation to you a few months ago, the results of that. He's done a terrific job in pulling those pieces together. It's actual details and data, and he can tell you how many jobs there are in the industry. He can tell you the value of the jobs and value of the salaries, and this is we're doing this cluster by cluster, and the marine trades is the one that we've done twice now. We're working through each one for a second time, and that process We worked with the port and all the other commissioners on the shared strategy. We all know that, that was a year and a half process, and we were in there with trying to staff that, along with port and city and county individuals. So we spent a fair amount of time last year working on that. There were conversations related to Coast City Foods and passenger only ferry that we attempted to staff the port with that. The Northwest Maritime Center was a group that we are still working on a branding effort with them. And Jake and I have worked out a process for identifying marine trades individuals who are in need of business training or business planning, and have worked through that process. I'll go a little bit more into that later. So we have kind of a referral system in place so we can have a deeper impact into the marine trades here.
Do you mind, on that passenger only ferry where you advise port staff and approach to community input, I kind of kept my nose pretty close to what was going on in the ferry thing. And what was your role in that? I guess I missed that.
Probably more, well, when we came and testified at two of the meetings, I spent time with, a fair amount of time with Jim, not in front of anybody, but we just had conversations about the process and how it should work.
And they did a letter that, you know, went forward along with, you know, Mayor of Seattle and all the others as part of the grant package or anything. So.
And we were not out there leading the charge. But we were absolutely in there, one, in favor of it, and two, trying to be as useful as you guys requested. If you go to page four, that sounds like you were going ahead of me, Steve.
Oh.
So we were prepared to do more if more was done. We all know that initiative went away. We assisted in leases. We've occupied and revitalized the 2410 building, and I think that I hope we all agree that that building is being used in a very positive and impactful way. It's a place that sat vacant for years, and now it's a place where a lot of meetings go on. People walk in the doors. Just telling Leaf, we have probably a half a dozen people a week walk in the door who want to talk about their business and what to do next and make appointments and keep going with that. So I don't want to underestimate the value of just having us in there. We really appreciate you having us there. Dealt with two parties regarding the Cupola House lease, and I don't know the current status of that, but I have talked to people who are looking for space that would potentially be usable for that. One is still in play. I don't know about that. I think the other one is on a way.
In about 20 minutes, it'll be a done deal.
Very good.
One of the items, the WSU extension Cupola House lease.
There's also a port tenant that I spent some time working with who decided to stay in the port and stay where they were. Or actually, they didn't stay where they were within the port. That's about as directional as I can get about that. So I spent some time trying to run the numbers with them on that. Also on the broadband side, broadband is a huge countywide initiative, but there's absolutely no question that it has port-related impacts. And that's been a huge part of what I've been working on for the last 4 years personally, and continue to work on another update next Wednesday. It is going to provide infrastructure that is important and vital to a lot of marine trades organizations and potentially to ones who would want to come here. I think it increases some potential for some unique applications for port customers, and we can talk about that in detail. The other is the CEO breakfast, which is something we've been hosting for close to 10 years now, I think. And that's been, I think, a very useful forum, and we're trying to revitalize that and turn that into a bit more of a pointed conversation. We have before it's been kind of a round robin, people come in and talk about what's going on. The way I think of it is it's a way of keeping the conversation going, so that when a deeper conversation needs to be had, you don't have to reintroduce yourselves.
Sure.
And the MPD, the Metropolitan Park District, was discussed at length the last meeting, and I think that's moving forward, and I hope it's been useful to the board staff that have attended. And last, sorry, I'm an Irishman, I have to joke. We serve and consume only PT Brewery beer and Sunrise Coffee. So that's a very, very important part of it.
So
not as soon as it distills some Irish whiskey, we get to talk. The math on this is probably as hard for you to read as it is for me. It was really easy on the screen, but essentially, what we've received from the port is a net-free, low-cost place to run our operations. And I think it's been a win-win for both the port and Team Jefferson. We received cash funding of $25,000, and that gets charged against all this list of things that I have here: general operating and networking, business consultations. We can go through the list, but those are the things that are essentially encompassed in the $25,000 that you've been generous to provide us in the past. What it's not charged against, I think this is a really important point, is when you talk about Quimper Mercantile and Team Jefferson, there's kind of a connection there that was like the main focus of what we did. It was a huge focus in 2012, but it was entirely volunteer. My time was volunteer. The other four members of Team Jefferson, it was entirely volunteer. There was no funding that went into doing that. If I'd known it was going on for 2.5 years, I might not have worked it that way. But the reality is that last year alone, and we listed it as in-kind to Department of Commerce, my time, which I had to track for that purpose, was at $17,380. None of that was billed or supplied by the port. It was all volunteer. Every member who participated in that effort are the ones who they did not. There was no expense to that. So that was kind of an over and above power of Team Jefferson being a volunteer organization as well. I think that the important point I also want to make about that is, though, that this is all economic development that we do here is relative to, you can't pull it apart. You can't say that this is for the port, this is for the county, this is for the city. If we don't have a vital retail area, if we don't have a place that attracts people, good education and a good downtown retail space and good infrastructure, then businesses aren't going to locate here, whether they're a maritime business or a CAD design business or a web design business. Keeping the infrastructure here, keeping things important that are important to people is a key element that Team Jefferson needs to focus on. And the lines get terribly blurred in that. So if we don't have a vital retail space downtown, then we won't attract the businesses that we want or keep the businesses that we want. And the same goes with education. So our intent is to have a really, really great place to live and work, and that will attract businesses of all kinds and types. And I think the other really important part of the Quimper story has been how it's played in other states and within the state. We're on the map for having done what we've done. We are constantly being asked to go to conferences. We're being written up in magazines and things like that for the can-do attitude of Port Townsend, the Quimper and Lyon and Team Jefferson. That story is getting out, and that's very important when you go down and want to talk to somebody in Oregon about potentially relocating. We have successes to point to, and that word is getting out. I'll be going to a conference in March. They've done an 8-minute film about the whole process, about Port Townsend, not Quimper, but Port Townsend, and Lyon, and Team Jefferson, and all those as a way that communities can come together and solve their own problems. So,
is there a marine trades element in that presentation?
No, there's not a marine trades in that presentation. The focus was on the abilities of communities to come together and solve their own problems. So there was not a marine trades. So that's my spiel on that element. For 2013, one really nice thing is the TMTA has agreed and offered to fund 3 scholarships in the business planning class, which is going to start March 14th. They're going to be $150 of the $250 fee for doing that. And we're really looking forward to having that connection. That's kind of a continuation of the conversation that Jake Beatty and I had about how do we get business planning, business training to more marine trades areas. We're continuing to resource the maritime cluster, and that legislature, it would be useful in any kind of outreach we make, because we can tell people the size of our business, number of employees. We can tell people, you know, how important it is to this community, and they can get a sense of what's available. I'll be going down next week. I thought it was the 19th. I found out it's the 22nd to go with the group down to meet the legislators about Bill 1566 and urge the covering of that.
That's actually meet with the legislators.
Yeah.
Peter himself down there to test them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Peter.
Trappin.
Trappin, yes, is organizing.
He's trying to get real people down there instead of all the
lobbyists.
Normal lobbyists.
That's right. You know, new faces, yeah. The other thing we'd like to do, and we want to make sure we can do this with all of the major constituencies, is we'd like to have one or two port initiatives that we can work on. We are a resource. We are somebody that can utilize. We have skills that among the 16 members who can bring some thought and some ability to bear. A couple ideas. These are just things thrown out. Let's assume 1366 passes. You know, what do we do with it? How does Port Townsend take advantage of that? We could have Boat Haven specific training classes to help people just, you know, basically what I call raise your business IQ about how you're running your business. I used to teach a thing called the four-pocket financial system, which I developed when I was painting houses and building houses. That I had four pockets, and you know, this was the money I could spend on myself, this was the money I paid my employees with, this was the money that paid for the materials, and this was the money I held in case I didn't get the next job. And there's a whole process that you can go through. It's a very simple way of thinking of your business, but it works. And you put a program around that. Also, the airport industrial park. There's a consultant's recommendations. We could participate in the process of figuring out how to market that, what the next steps would be, potentially package this together. We'd love to be participating in that. Putting that kind of program together. That is the hardest thing to do, but it gets even harder if you never start it. So that's essentially my presentation. On the back, we have two documents, and this is our strategic plan. This is a strategic planning format that the Chamber and Main Street each share. We don't share the same items in here, but the format and the process of developing, we created together so that we can look across each other's work and decide whether or not we're in each other's way or complementary or trying to help each other.
So this is with you and who? The Chamber of Commerce?
Team Jefferson put together a strategic plan. Working with Casey Reeder, each one of us has put together our own strategic plan using this format. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to be able to look at what each other's doing, talk to each other about what we're doing, make sure we're coordinating as opposed to getting each other's way.
And so the other entities involved are?
The Chamber and Main Street.
Oh, okay.
And we can go through this, but that's last time we went through this group, it took us 2 hours. I don't think. On the far right, though, action measures, there are initials, and those are the people who are championing those specific elements. In the organizational chart that you saw, there was initiatives 1, 2, and 3, and those are the kinds of things that will bubble up through this. What are the 3 to 5 things that we're going to work on first? And that's our March meeting is what we're going to work towards that. It's really important to marshal our efforts and make sure we get one over the transom before we go to the next one. And I'm dogged about focusing on things like that. You don't get something done, you still have it in your way, so you can't get to the next one. Any questions? Anything I can answer or elucidate?
Do you have any idea how the mercantile is doing?
Yes, I do. I can't tell you, but I do. We're a public corporation, and we have stock, and so we have to tell everybody how we're doing at the same time. We have to tell our shareholders, we have to tell the community. We're having the first shareholder meeting is March 27th, 6 to 7, 7:30, I guess. And prior to that, we'll send out our fourth quarter results.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you've got much inventory in there.
We have about $260,000 worth of inventory, and we're in the the process of putting in another 100 to 150,000. You may have seen in the paper, we've extended our stock offering. We really wanted another $150,000 of the inventory. And we've built the path to get there now. Not the least of it is that we've contracted with the buying group that Swains used to use, which gives us access to a much broader range of merchandise at lower cost. And actually Sheldon, our manager, is heading down tomorrow to go down to do that. I've spent the last couple weeks at night and other times raising some funds to go ahead and do that. So it's a startup. You never, unless you are a Walmart who sends 16 trailer loads and say unpack it, this is how stores get going. We've gone to my wife's store when we first started it. We had so few books, we had them all turned on the edge. Now they're all smashed together. So it's how business gets going. Really excited to be working with WWD, the buying group, because that will make a huge difference in our ability to stock. And we decided to make some fairly aggressive moves so we can get there as quickly as possible.
So, I got a question. Can you tell us the status of other funds, you know, the county, the state,
city?
Anything from the city?
The county is continuing. The state does not know. That's going to be an interesting thing. We're funded through June of this year with the state, and depending what the legislature decides, the difference is last year we waited and didn't do anything with, you know, hiring other people and things. This year we're just saying, look, we don't have a choice. We need either be a going operation or not. We were very careful with the funds last year. We have enough to kind of get through this year. If the state doesn't re-up the funding, I expect they will, but you know, God knows.
This process. So. Yeah. And how much is the county?
25.
And you and I have talked that you might be having a meeting with the city manager.
Yes. Yeah. Once we have our results out from Quimper and others, that is an ongoing conversation I've had with both Davids. We anticipate we'll continue to push that. I believe we're doing good work for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's not to speak to the commission, but at least on a personal level. Yeah, we all need to be at the table if we're going to do this. So.
Right.
Yeah, but the city's line on that is that they pay their taxes to the county, and that should be included in their benefits from the county.
So we pay taxes to the county, too.
That's their story, and they're sticking with it.
Yeah.
And as we all know, they don't really have a lot of surplus funds.
Well, ours are dwindling, too.
Yeah, it's all a matter of proving you have value, and I think proving we have value. That's the only thing I can do. If I can show up and say, look, we provided value, I mean, Quimper alone is going to provide $200,000 worth of sales tax revenue and another $40,000 worth of B&O revenue in the city limits. So I think that's a pretty good story.
That is a good story.
I'm just asking for something of the bad, man.
I know you've had a series of these how to write a business plan courses.
Right.
Any marine trade ever taken advantage of?
You know, I can't say specifically that they have. I used to run an organization that did all this kind of training all the time, the Northwest Entrepreneur Network. And I'm totally in favor of business plans. I think they are critical. They are not some sort of flimsy thing you create to get money. They're something you do to yourself. You got business. And so we've changed the way we're doing business classes. We're actually giving you a rebate if you get your business plan done. And we're adding additional consultation time. And with the PTMTA underwriting, or partially underwriting three different grants, I absolutely hope that will happen.
I would think, you know, with the economy and some of the other changes in the industry, even if you have a business plan that you wrote 10 years ago, it's probably need to be reviewed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, it's a matter of understanding your business yourself. It's not a matter of whether or not you convince somebody else. You're the one that's going to put all the time in. So, but we absolutely hope to have 3 in this class. We have 7 people signed up so far towards a maximum of 15.
What I would suggest, commissioners, is, you know, Jim and Eric were down talking to Pete, and we talked to ourselves a week or so ago, and I think the next step, we should probably have maybe an upcoming workshop, a discussion on trying to focus the EDC more on what we really need. You know, our contract kind of lays out some of the things, but it's pretty generic. It almost follows the same checklist as the state.
Yeah, it's modeled after.
Right, the Department of Commerce asked for, but I think, you know, we could probably come up with 2, maybe 3 tasks. You know, we need help on the industrial park at the airport, getting that up and running and get some infrastructure in the ground and all that.
Yeah, look for grants.
Right, to help with the grants, you know, search. And that kind of leads into the, let me just jot it down here. Since we talked about the that recent ag survey, you know, a lot of port districts in the state, more so in eastern Washington, but a lot of on this side of the house too, are heavily involved in their local ag industry. And personally, I, you know, we've talked about this for years, you know, maybe we need to explore that in more depth. Is there something the port can help with our local ag folks? You know, what would that be? Where would it be? Maybe end up there's not much we can do, but you know, it might be a whole new line of business for us to get into. That'd be good for us. And
yeah, that community. Sunnyside story was a trip. Turned nothing into a $46 million a year payroll.
Yeah. But something like that, so maybe that's a discussion we ought to have. Mm-hmm.
Happy to have those conversations.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Les, do you want to get in a comment?
Yes. Peter, my name is Les Bishnick. I'm from the Port Townsend Union Trade Association. I'm one of 3 people who are here today. Do you know if your report you get today has already been given to the Marine Trades Association, or is it available or could be available?
Could be available.
Preferably, you know, online.
It could be available online, and we have to come and present it as well. So whatever you guys want. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Well, if I could just get the contact from you, and I'll pass it on to the chairperson, Diana Kelly.
I know that. Yeah, I can make sense of it.
All right, thank you.
You bet. All right.
Thanks. Thanks. Then moving on back to the original agenda, item 3, consent agenda, which includes the approval for the meeting minutes, January 23, and the operation reports for January 2013.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
My second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda? None? Old business, item 5. WSU Extension Cupola House lease.
We've discussed this before. It's taken a little bit of time because since it acts as the Jefferson County Extension Office, the lease had to also go through the county administrator, you know, for their approval, and that has now happened, and so they're ready on their end to sign, and we just need the final green light from the Port Commission. The terms and the agenda item are there: 5-year lease with 2 more 5-year options commencing 1st of March, monthly rental rate of $1,700. And we're in the process, as part of the agreement, installing a heating system and replacing the bathroom fixtures, which we had to do anyway. We had to move the tenant was going to be in there. So, so other than that, I think we're ready to move ahead. Give us the light, sign it. They're actually going to have a painting party, WSU is, this weekend in there to but they were free to change the colors and that sort of thing, so.
Well, I make a move that we direct the staff to move ahead with the WSU extension for the lease on the Kukla House.
Yeah, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And the other thing, as we talked before, it's not part of the lease, but they're going to help us look for grant money restoration.
Of the building itself.
Similar to what we did with this building, so that'll take some time.
What was the story? There was never a heater in that building?
You know, when the Wooden Boat Foundation had it, they had a mixture of space heaters and everything else, and it never really, you know, the original central heating system, when the military had it, was, you know, all this was coal-fired furnaces.
Oh.
And steam pipes. And, you know, the old pipes are still under the building, wrapped in asbestos and everything. You know, never really had a modern system like what we put into this. You know, we had to do the same thing in this building. And, so, working with old buildings.
Then, under old business, item B, legislative update, HB 1366 and 1245.
And we talked a little bit about 1366, the marine tourism. I went down to Olympia two Fridays ago to appear before the House Finance Committee. Also appearing there was George Harris and Peter Schrappen from the Northwest Marine Trade Association. Port of Seattle is there. Port of Bremerton had a commissioner there. Port of Port Angeles was there. So there are quite a few other folks, along with Washington Public Port Association. But the only three people that testified were George Harris, Peter Schrappen, and myself. And I think we were well received. I think the committee understood the rationale behind allowing these boats to stay longer without taxing them in Washington state waters. Representative Therringer has to be on the committee, and he's trying to champion it amongst his fellow representatives. So now it's gone back in. We'll see if it's rewritten. It still has to go over to the Senate side. And, of course, typical legislative process, the Senate will come up with their version of the bill, and you got to have a joint session to kind of work out the differences. So I volunteered if they need somebody to come back down and testify again. Let me know, kind of thing. But one of the issues, Johan from WPPA, both he and I have been talking to this Alicia Leduc, Department of Commerce, because one of the Department of Commerce is saying that this is revenue negative for the state because they won't be able to tax these vessels. Well, when we've asked them, well, how much tax money have you actually gathered over the years, they are unable to tell us. Well, we all know the reality is these vessels know they're going to get taxed if they spend more than 60 days. So on day 59, they go up to British Columbia rather than staying here and paying 10% of the vessel's value. You know, if you've got a $10 million yacht, you're not going to give the state $1 million just to spend a few more weeks here. So, yeah, we made sure the representatives understood that. And we tried to educate them on the fact that these vessels that will stay here, that means they're available for coming into the yards like ours and getting worked on, refueling, refitting, or provisioning, channelry items, plus all the normal tourism things. So I feel pretty good about it, but, you know, it's still early in the legislative session. The other bill, 1245, that's the derelict vessel bill. Everybody in Olympia is anxious to pass something because of the Penn Cove incident where that vessel sunk and contaminated shellfish beds, etc. The initial draft, and I shared that with y'all, was not good. It really restricted public port with our marinas that essentially would make us liable should a derelict vessel show up on our doorstep. Nothing holding the boatholder liable, but the taxpayers, you know, would be stuck with the demolition, et cetera. And it even prevented us from being able to salvage the boat, you know, sell it to somebody for, you know, salvaging what they could out of it. So that, everybody understands that, and although I didn't testify on this, I did craft a letter that went out to our representatives and about 20 others, as did a lot of other ports. And I think the Port of Manchester, one of their commissioners, actually went down and testified, saying that, because they've got, if you've ever been over the Port of Manchester, you know, they got the three commissioners and that's it.
Right.
No staff. And they've got a very small, you know, maybe 8 slips and a long dock, you know, for tourism, because they're right across from Seattle. And under the scenario that the first draft bill, the way it was written, they could come in the morning, find a 100-foot derelict vessel tied up to their wharf, and they would be responsible. Well, that would totally bankrupt that port district. They don't have any other revenues. So I think everybody understood that, and I forwarded an email, and I put a copy in your box from Johan on that, that, yeah, he believes everybody understands that issue about, you know, bankrupting small port districts, but we haven't seen a rewrite of the bill. So that's due to come out any day now. We'll keep an eye out for it, and when I get that, I'll share it with you. So it's really just a progress report on the legislative. We aren't really involved in any other bill action at this point. We haven't been asked to intercede. There are a number, I put in your box, Dave, and forwarded to you the legislative update.
Yeah, they, and plus WPPA sends me that anyway.
You get it automatically.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there are a number of other bills that WPPA as an industry is tracking, but, you know, wait for them to call if they need our help. That's all I have on that.
The next item is approval of warrants. And thank you for sending me the warrants ahead of time. So that really makes it easier for me to deal. We got a couple days.
Yes, that was good. Okay, so we have warrants number 5,452 through 5,481 in the amount of $45,389.45 for payroll. 5,482, 5,491 for $73,784.53 for payroll benefits and accounts payable. And then we have 50,492 through 50,588, the amount of $57,835.55 for accounts payable. Move the warrants be approved as read.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next we come to staff comments.
Let you know something that's going to happen in your community, and also see if there's any opportunities for volunteers or assistance. I've told you before about the Peller Club. That's a marine trade association that that I'm involved with. There's a club in Port of Tacoma, and it's an international club. One of our affiliates that we sponsor is the Marine Foundation, and that they actually have their own classrooms and on water facility with the fueling station there, and it's operated by Sea Scouts, so it's a youth organization. Every year they do a boat call out, and the place where they used to take it to is closed, so they're going to be here in Port Townsend for their call out, so you get another statistics on your report. But they're here for a week, and so usually it's during the spring break, so the adults associated with Sea Scouts in Tacoma can assist on that, but now it's going to be in Port Townsend. So if there's any opportunities to connect folks that might be willing to volunteer or help or meet these folks, it'd be really great.
We have a local Sea Scout organization.
Oh, excellent. Okay, great.
I'm trying to think what her name. She's the Caldwell Banker.
Yeah, Wendy and Norm Stevens are the ones that are involved with it.
That was another.
I I'm sure they'd be really happy to help out. They're a very active group.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, great. That helps. Thank you.
Any further staff comments?
I'm just continuing to work on closing out last year, so work on that, and also in communication with banks trying to figure out financing.
Oh, for the new building?
And speaking of the new building, in the classifieds today were ads for both the building as well as the commercial basin rehabilitation. Sue's already gotten at least one or two calls, I think.
For the building?
No, for the basin so far. And
actually, I did get one interest in the building today.
We will have all that on our website as far as the drawings and specifications by next week. Actually, the drawings for the building should be up by this Friday. So that's moving along. And we talked this morning in a workshop. Staff will make every effort that in 2 weeks we'll be able to have the next commission meeting in your new digs down to Boathaven.
Well, that'll be nice.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of people who are interested in the material in that Marine Exchange building. And I just told them to call you guys.
The material.
The sheet metal.
Yeah. That may, we're going to go off the small works roster for the demolition of the building. And that might play into the contract because whoever's demolishing it may want it. And thereby give us a lower price. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Just to update, plans, drawings, and specs are on the website for the commercial basin right now. And the drawings, Richard Berg called, and he's hoping to get the drawings for the admin building to me by Friday afternoon to put up. Mm-hmm. And the specs won't be here until Tuesday at the earliest, so.
You know, I was just mentioning to Larry that the offices in the prospective building are definitely missing the view, the potential view.
We're looking at a couple more tenants, such as Mr. Thompson's.
The accounting office has a nice view of the fuel tanks and the Safeway gas station. And Larry.
Safeway gas station and you.
nobody runs around with naked over there, so it's not very exciting.
Well, yeah, we in the design of it, trying to make it as energy efficient. The front of the building, which faces the marina, is essentially all glass to allow the lighting, because that's sun tracks on that side of the building. So all the offices are on the back side of the building, which is the
city building. Except for
yours. Sue has a view. But we can take a look at it, because all the internal walls are all movable. We just have to work around fire escapes and all the mandatory stuff, so.
Yeah, but as I mentioned, yeah. It'd be nice, in the conference, if you have a conference with somebody who's just vaguely familiar with the port, if they could see the activity that's happening there.
They will.
Yeah. There's not much. It's not the same.
We'll take a look at it.
Any public comments? Then on to commissioner comments. Steve, do you have anything?
Well, actually, I was gone for the last couple of weeks, so I didn't have anything of really importance, except that I totally agree with Dave on that building. I mean, we can make the... One of the things that I've been championing, and I'm not sure that anyone's really taking me seriously, is a widow's walk at the top. Just make the stairwell, you go up an extra flight, and having a place where you can go out, and when someone's saying, oh, we're going to do the travel lift there, the commercial basin's going to be lifted up, that boat's over there. You have a place where you can actually point to it, and they can see it, because you'll have a two-story building, you'll have a real nice vantage point. And if, in fact, the roof... And I don't know about the thing, if it's such that you can't have windows that look toward the view, you get some guy up here that wants to, so excited to move to town and put his boat in the water, but all he can see is Dave's shop, then,
No,
he can,
the whole front of the building is all windows looking at the marina.
On the second floor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing, too, is the admin building doesn't really get a lot of visitors.
Well, maybe it won't.
And the main conference room will be on the bottom floor. We have an extra conference room upstairs that someday might have been used as another office if the staff, you know, have to bring somebody else.
You know, there was extra offices, too. You planning to expand the executive staff?
To get a marketing director.
I get a remote location.
Well, you know, what caused me to, you know, one, we have the opportunity, so you might as well use the space, and we can use it for storage if nothing else right now, but, you know, when I was visiting the Port of Chelan, and I was in their admin building, and then later on, I was at the Port of Walla Walla in their admin building, and this is something, you know, Peter's not here, but a lot of port districts are taking the EDC under their wing, actually making it part of the port staff.
Uh-huh.
To where the state and the county, and in their cases, the city money, comes to the port. And the EDC person actually is a port person. And their office is in Port Edmund facility. And, you know, those ports have taken on the economic development of their district, their county. I'm not saying we should do that, but, you know, by having one or two extra office spaces, you suddenly have that flexibility to do those things. So.
That's an interesting idea because none of the other entities are really charged with economic development.
Right.
And that's why these port districts have seized the moment and the extra funds to staff it. And,
how would the county feel about
it? I don't know. Part of me thinks they probably would
welcome
it because it would, you know, give them a relief that they don't have to worry about it. The city, I don't know how they would perceive it.
It would probably give some stability to the EDC, too. I mean, definitely, yeah. We've had such an up-and-down EDC for so many years.
Yeah, that's something, you know, when you're out and about with other port commissioners, you might want to talk to Chelan and Walla Walla guys. I think commissioners have done that and see what they think of it. But anyway.
Any further comments, Dave?
No.
Peninsula Development District is probably going to introduce a dues structure. We had a visit from the ADO in Seattle, the federal boys, and they pretty much told us that without matching funds coming from us, that there would be no hope of funding from them. And they fund us to the tune of about 60 grand a year, I think. So that would eliminate our full-time staff position, which would effectively kill the Peninsula Development District. Just
if
a room.
We don't have dues.
Huh?
If we don't have dues.
If we don't have dues, yeah. So we're making a proposal, and it'll be out to the membership soon for a dues structure. And I would, it was certainly interesting talking to the people from Seattle because they're just complete bureaucrats. They can talk for half a day and they just tell you the same thing over and over and over again. But their main message was that they do not know if we're going to have any funding for next year. And they don't know when they're going to find out. But that without the matching funds, they said we're probably not going to get any funding. So it's going to cause some pretty large conflicts with Clallam County EDC. They're going to probably withdraw from the PDD right away. It'll remain to be seen what the other entities have to say about it because it's a two-county, three-government organization. So you get lots of push and pull from the various sides of the coin. The only way I could see the port being able to afford a larger contribution to the Peninsula Development District would be to use some of the funds that we now use to support the EDC. So I don't.
Any feel for, are we talking $1,000 a year, $5,000 a year?
At the most, $1,000. It's actually less than that right now.
We pay $500 a year for the RC&B right now a year.
Yeah, and it's probably done soon too.
Well, that's why I always kind of thought that that should roll under the PDD, and then that $500, you know, and all the cities and everybody else that's on the RC&D pay in different amounts.
Yeah, but Doherty put a stop to that.
Yeah, he's Mr. RC&D, can't let go.
Right.
But then that money could be used for the larger PDD, you know.
Right, which is a point that'll probably be brought up at the next PDD meeting, which is too bad because this is a pretty major issue for the Peninsula Development District. And the next meeting's at Battelle Northwest. So it's like going to Disneyland and having a meeting and trying to get anybody to listen, you know. Battelle's a pretty cool operation. So that's my news on the PDD. And that's about all I have to say.
I did have a comment.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm not sure. In the past, I haven't done anything, but coming up next week is the energy lunch. And this energy lunch is going to be probably a packed house. And the reason is because it's going to have a really germane topic for residents around here. It's going to have Barney Burke talking about what they're going to do. And the guy that was handing over the keys to the power station from PSC, they're going to be having a joint talk about how this has happened and how it's going to affect future race and that sort of thing. And one of the things that we want to do is the port is now sponsoring this energy lunch. We want, and you know, to get really important things like this going, wanted to have whoever the port sponsor and the other sponsors pose, because it's going to be quite publicized in the newspaper and so forth, and we'll get our face out there letting people know that we're involved in trying to get this sort of thing going. So that's going to be happening.
It's probably they always have those lunches on when we have our monthly staff lunch and mm-hmm. training session. Mm-hmm.
When is that, Steve?
It's next Tuesday at noon. Well, actually, the talk, the Barney, the thing starts at 12, but that's when people kind of get around and talk with each other and BS and eat their sandwiches, but the real talk starts at 12:30. So that your staff's lunch is over by then, isn't it?
No, it's 12 to 1.
12 to 1, no. Anyway, that'll be at 12:30, and it's at the community center?
Right.
The one in town.
Up on Lawrence.
The community.
Yeah, that should be an interesting one. It is getting passed around pretty good.
Yeah.
It was in the paper. We'll see conversations.
Yeah, I was going to say Linda sent out an email for people. You know, perhaps, why don't we look at it, Sue, see if what next Wednesday looks like. I don't know. After decades of all having staff lunch on a Tuesday, if we were to move to a Wednesday, would everything fall apart? Or
to move to every Wednesday? Just change.
Well, I don't know. It might be a thing. If the energy launch isn't going to change, this has come up several times now. It would have to be that middle Wednesday, so we can't have it on a commission day. So, take a look at that.
One more thing I just saw coincidentally, except for the settlement today, we would have been in federal court day one of the trial. So. Congratulations.
That would have been exciting.
Yeah, that would have been special.
And on that, Carolyn, I briefed the commission this morning, talking to Don Watts on Monday. The holdup's been the title company, and they came across several parcels within the greater Cotai that showed up as still being county owned.
Oh.
And so everybody was swirling around with that because National Park Service and the RCO were, you know, saying, look, this is going to be 100% under the city's control. Ends up those parcels had been transferred to the city, but
paperwork
it just, right, the recording of the, yeah.
Oh.
which is kind of scary being a property owner in the county that, you know, our county seems to be so lax on courting their own property, let alone private property. But it's moving ahead, and we're thinking maybe in about 4 weeks we can sign.
Our next meeting is going to be Wednesday, February 27th at 6:30 p.m.
In the new commission meeting?
In the new room?
Hopefully in the new room at the Low Haven at 333 Bennett.
Larry also said it would be ready.
Then we're going to adjourn this commission meeting for an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110G.
How long?
I'd say 15 minutes. I'll make this a short one.
Any decisions?
I just have a couple things I want to bring up with you guys. I'm not really ready for Larry to be there yet.
Yeah, I've got a few ideas too. I'd like.
Oh, okay. Do you need longer than 15 minutes? You think?
Yeah.
Half hour?
Yeah, we can bail early. I'm sure.
Well, you can't bail.
No.
Early. Yeah.
It's better
to say half hour. Let's
say half an hour.
If you say there's no action, expect that.
You can bail early.
Oh.
Well, okay. Yeah.
No action.
Right.
No.
Well, if I heard one possible and two no's.
Yeah.
The two no's take it.